everybody, and welcome to episode 153 of the Ron and Brian podcast. I'm Ron, as always, joined by the man who will be spending tonight once again, hoping to hear his name called at the NFL draft, Brian. Brian, how are you, sir?
I'm doing fine, Ron. I think, you know, loyal listeners can easily remember last year, the NFL had told me to please attend the draft in person. I went to Madison Square Garden. I was all prepared with my special Waterman pen, the fountain pen. I was going to sign the contract with whichever team had drafted me.
Sure.
And then they announced due to the pandemic that they were delaying the draft. And sadly, I did not make the cut. I believe this will be my year. Want you to know that when I'm up there with Roger Goodell holding the jersey up with my name on the back, I'm going to be wearing my Ron and Brian podcast baseball cap. Never miss an opportunity to shamelessly self-promote.
There you go. We'll be keeping our eyes and ears out on the draft tonight. In the meantime, it's time for Drink of the Week.
Drink of the Week.
Nazdrovia.
Salud.
Drink of the Week.
Slancha.
Who's?
Drink of the Week. Drink of the Week. Drink of the Week.
Brian, what are you drinking this week? Plain and simple, what's your drink of the week?
This week, we're over here. We decided to go with the Snack Shack Session IPA. Listen, I think you know that I'm all about New Jersey beers. I mean, if there's anything that I know about great tasting water, which is really the base of all beers, when you want a great beer, you go with New Jersey. Coming out of Port Monmouth, New Jersey,
what?
From Ross Brewing Company. You know, sometimes you don't feel like something heavy. Sometimes you just want a snack. So you head over to the Snack Shack at the beach or on the boardwalk. You go over to the Jenkinsons in Asbury Park. And you grab something to hold you over. And this beer will do exactly that. And more. Any day, any time. This Session IPA will hit the spot and leave you wanting another one. Complex. Crisp. Citrusy. It drinks like a much bigger IPA, thanks to the mix of Citra, Matueca, Azaka, and El Dorado hops. You'll be enjoying this one for a long time to come, Ron. So come on down to the shore and meet me at the Snack Shack.
Well, take a sip. As always, I am impressed with your pronunciation abilities of the different hops going into your beer. Tell us, how is the Snack Shack?
Oh, it's actually pretty good.
All right. Well, that's good. We like that with our beer of the week.
It doesn't have that traditional bitterness. There's a definite hoppy flavor. It's not too heavy. You know, it's the kind of beer that I would want to drink when I'm walking down the boardwalk or the beach.
One or the other, as you often do. Because each guy,
you know, with this skin color. Just, I live at the beach.
Often. Yes, I get it. I get it. Well, yeah, Brian, I have to be a little bit honest about Drink of the Week this week. I initially was going to go a little bit mainstream. I picked up a new beer by Guinness, their Nitro Cold Brew Coffee, hard coffee. But I had a can of it after I bought it. And to be honest, it was pretty bad. It tasted like someone had taken a Guinness and maybe watered it down a bit and then poured a little cold coffee in there. Very disappointing. So I was not going to force myself to drink another can of that. So I went to one of our old standbys, obviously Broken Goblet in Ben Salem, our favorite brewery. I had a crowler in there. This is their Animal Chin Double IPA with tangerine and lactose. Of course, you know I'm a fan of lactose.
Love your lactose.
This is clacking in at a solid 8.7%. So you know it's going to be a fun podcast and even more fun after dark when I get nice and sloppy with this. But let's take a sip here.
It's got a healthy, it's a healthy amber. It looks like it's got some citrus. It's definitely a cloudy yellow, much like my urine.
It's good. It's, you know, it's not too hoppy. Very citrusy. You definitely get the tangerine in that. I enjoy this beer. No two ways around it. I enjoy it. We'll see if I can hold on to some for the next time you're down, Brian.
You've had it before?
I've had the double IPA. This is the first time I've had it with the tangerine added.
Got it.
And it interesting. It is definitely a plus. Good add to it.
We know that Broken Goblet is consistently delivering high quality beer. Have you had something from there that you were disappointed by?
Not disappointed. I will say there are beers there that are not as much my liking as others, but I can't say I'm disappointed. They also have a pale ale that they're going to be rolling out in the next couple of weeks that I will be going over to check out. And they are bringing back their Radlers from last summer, bringing back their raspberry limeade Radler in cans. So I will have to be making another can run to B-Gob shortly.
I remember liking those Radlers, didn't I?
You did. We brought you some. Hopefully they will redo the Ecto Cooler. That was my favorite. I believe we did a watermelon limeade one too.
I do remember a watermelon one. Question for you, Ron, is are you planning on making any trips up to New York? Today, Mayor Bill de Blasio announced that he is expecting New York City to be open 100% by July 1st.
I saw that. And so I think we can plan that New York City visit very shortly.
Yes. But
let's not get ahead of ourselves, Brian. We got to deal with the topic at hand, and that is This Week in Racism.
This
week
in
racism.
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 Well, the good news, Brian, I was able to keep the font at 10 this week. Bad news, we still have
one sheet
pages here.
One sheet.
And I know last week you were a little bit concerned. You felt it ran long. It ran about 15 or 16 minutes last week. And I get it. I mean, sure, there are people out there that deal with racism 24/7 in their lives, but I'm going to keep it to a tight 10 just for you, Brian. So what I've decided to do is, I know we had talked about limiting the number of stories we have, but rather than limit the stories, I'm going to be probably a little bit more succinct. So that way, just get to the point. If you have additional, you know, you can always Google it. I mean, it's the tech age. So let's see how many of these we can get through before Brian gets totally disgusted. So we're going to start off with a little something I'm calling This Week in White Privilege, where students at Radnor High School in Radnor Township, PA, held a demonstration against their school's rebranding. Their Radnor Raider nickname was retired along with all related Native American imagery from their school district back in September of 2020. But there is a group of students that want to keep using the Raider name minus the imagery. Next, we have socialist YouTuber Socialism Done Left was outed this past weekend as online leftist leaked racist and anti-Semitic Discord messages he had posted in 2018. Socialism Done Left has admitted to posting some of the messages and has since apologized for them, saying that some of these statements were jokes made for shock humor and that he does not use this language anymore. A Michigan appeals court has ruled that the BS and Company Bar in Wolverine, Michigan, can be sued for negligence by a black man that was beaten by a white patron with a, quote, reputation for being a racist, because none of the employees that witnessed the attack intervened or called the police. Court documents show a bar staffer commented that they knew who the victim was because, quote, we only have one colored in our town. Let that sink in for one quick second. The Fall River, Massachusetts Police Department came under fire after the Derek Chauvin verdict when they posted a screenshot of a tweet that read, Chauvin immediately stood and calmly placed his hands behind his back. Imagine where we'd be if George had done the same. Next, in Waverly High School, which boasted a total of 6 black students in the 2019-2020 school year and is located in former Sundown Town, Waverly, Ohio, they made the news this week when it was discovered that they used videos from the white nationalist-leaning PragerU during a history lesson. The lesson was accompanied by a handout asking questions like, why blacks perpetuate and accept a victim mentality, and quote, what do you think motivates many blacks to make excuses? Staying in the high school realm, a criminal justice class assignment at Bishop McDevitt High School in the Philadelphia suburb of Wincote is sparking backlash against the school and teacher from those who feel it was written with a bias against George Floyd. Some of the questions asked if Chauvin should be charged with murder since Floyd had drugs in his system when he died, or if Chauvin broke the law because Floyd resisted arrest. When one of the students' aunts reached out to the teacher to complain about the assignment, the teacher responded, "I understand if you do not wish to complete the assignment and would rather take the zero." Students were eventually given the option of completing another assignment instead. Louisiana GOP Rep. Ray Garofalo went viral this week due to comments he made in support of a House bill that would prohibit schools and colleges from teaching divisive concepts such as critical race theory. If you're teaching, having a discussion on whatever the case may be on slavery, then you can talk about everything dealing with slavery, the good, the bad, the ugly, he said. Fellow Republican Representative Stephanie Hilford Lee quickly fired back, "There's no good to slavery, though." The House bill was later killed during the same committee meeting that Garofalo made his comments in. A white former Army sergeant was arrested after a drunken racist tantrum at a grocery store that was caught on video and posted to TikTok. John Miles was at a Food Lion grocery store in Sumter, South Carolina, when he was filmed yelling, "All lives fucking matter, black lives don't fucking matter," and refusing to leave until cops escorted him away. "Fuck black lives, fuck white lives, fuck goddamn brown lives," he yelled at the end of the video. Miles was placed under house arrest after posting bond. A Vandergrift, Pennsylvania police officer is under fire for a video that shows him confronting a black man and not telling him why. Marcus Townsend, the man confronted by the officer inside G&G restaurant, took the video, believing he was being racially profiled. Officer William Moore appears drunk in the video and has been placed on paid leave while an investigation takes place. Moore was previously placed on paid leave in 2017 when police said he assaulted and threatened a 14-year-old boy. Court papers say Moore appeared drunk at the time of that incident and threatened to have the boy committed to a mental institute. A black man working at Cooper Power and Lighting in Farmingdale, New York, was greeted on April 20th with a noose hanging in his workspace. Fearing for his safety, Kieran Taylor called the police and his union to inform them of the situation. Taylor's lawyer, Frederick Brewington, said that Taylor's boss scolded him for calling the cops. Cooper Power and Lighting has refused to comment on the situation, and Taylor's union was able to get him a new job. A teacher at Lamar Elementary School in Texas has resigned after taking a photo of her foot on a black student's neck and texting it to the boy's mother. The teacher and Zaylin Jackson's mother are friends, and the photo was meant as a joke, but Zaylin's father did not see the humor in it. Neither did the school district, which has suspended the teacher prior to her resignation. A Virginia woman who made racist remarks at her black neighbor was fired by her employer. Video posted online shows a heated exchange in front of the woman's neighbor's home, telling her that she's, quote, "not the right color, honey." In the video, the neighbor can be heard repeating, "I'm an N-word." "Yes, you are," the woman who is white responded. The woman worked at Chesterfield Food Bank and was terminated from her job after the video went viral. James Rhodes was charged with aggravated menacing and ethnic intimidation after verbally attacking a black woman in a Stowe, Ohio apartment complex parking lot while she was delivering food. A video of the altercation shows Rhodes yelling, "Yes, and I'm a racist. I'm a racist motherfucker. I've got an AK-47 right now in my fucking goddamn car, and I'll blow your fucking head off." In New York City, an Asian man received 9 stitches after he was allegedly slugged in the face by a panhandler who called him a stupid chino. The victim was waiting for a bus when the attacker, identified as Saul Babylonia, approached asking for money. The victim was punched in the head when he attempted to walk away. Babylonia was arrested moments after the attack and charged with felony assault and aggravated harassment as a hate crime. And most definitely, our worst story of the week: a black man was shot 10 times by a Virginia sheriff's deputy who gave him a ride home just moments prior. The Spotsylvania County deputy, who has not been named, gave Isaiah Brown a ride after his car broke down at a local Wawa. About half an hour later, Isaiah called 911 to report a domestic situation. The same deputy who gave Isaiah a ride earlier in the night responded to the call and within minutes of arriving at the house began firing shots. Apparently, the deputy mistook Brown's cordless phone for a gun. This is despite Brown communicating to the 911 dispatch that he had no weapon, which was not communicated to the deputy. The deputy has been placed on administrative leave, while Brown remains in very critical condition on a breathing machine with 8 bullets still in his body. That's not all, Brian. We've got a little bit of racism rewind.
Racism rewind.
To follow up on some stories that we have previously covered, Nicole Poole Franklin, the Iowa woman who drove her SUV into two children in 2019 because she thought one was Mexican and the other was a member of the Islamic State, pled guilty to 2 counts of violating the U.S. Hate Crime Act. She also pled guilty to 2 state counts of attempted murder in the same attacks. The federal counts carry a possible life prison sentence, but prosecutors recommended that Franklin be sentenced to 27 years behind bars and that her federal sentence be served at the same time as her state sentence. Virginia State Police Trooper Charles Hewitt, caught in video in 2019, violently arresting a black motorist and telling him, quote, "You're going to get your ass whooped," was fired in February for his role in the traffic stop in Fairfax County. The driver, Derek Thompson, sued Hewitt and the state last year and received $20,000 in a settlement reached this month. And then finally, in the murder of Ahmaud Arbery in Brunswick, Georgia, in February 2020, the Department of Justice has charged the 3 men accused of the killing with hate crimes. Travis McMichael, his father Gregory McMichael, and William Roddy Bryan were indicted Wednesday for targeting and threatening Arbery because of his race. The father and son are already facing murder and aggravated assault charges in Georgia. And that wraps it up, I think, right at 10 minutes. So hopefully you feel a little bit better this week, Brian.
How many times did you practice that? To get the flow.
You know, I did a little bit of a run through just to make sure I was going to keep it in that 10 minutes.
That is fucking depressing.
Yes. Well, let's keep it rolling. It's Beef of the Week time.
Ron and Brian's Beef of the Week.
All right, I'm told I clocked in at just a shade under 8 minutes, 51 seconds. So kudos to me.
Not bad. Ryan, not bad.
What's your beef this week?
This one's personal, Ron.
Okay.
This week it's personal. And when I say personal, I mean having to do with my body.
Okay.
I wore a shirt on Saturday that had some kind of decal in this area.
Okay.
And it has been irritated since. Ooh. And I'm finding myself scratching it, and my skin is all red in this general area.
Was it a cheap shirt? Did you possibly not buy something of the quality that I'm used to you wearing?
This is a shirt I have worn on multiple occasions. This is not a new shirt. This is something I have worn. I think I've owned this shirt for probably about 2 or 3 years. I don't think I did anything different on Saturday that would have brought this upon me. But ever since Saturday, I've just been itching, and it's really irritating, and it's quite, and it's left me irritable, not just irritated, but also irritable.
Perhaps you were a little more active than you normally have been while wearing that shirt. Perhaps you were out there doing something that maybe caused you to sweat, and yes, maybe some nipple chafing, perhaps.
No, if the nipples are fine, the nipples, just for that you guys know, the nipples are here.
Right, right.
It's irritated right
along
here.
The breastbone right there.
Yes, yes. Maybe if we're lucky during tonight's pajama party, depending on whether I'm in the mood. Maybe during the pajama party, I'll show everybody what's going on.
A valid question. But, Billy, did you normally wear another shirt under that shirt?
No. No. I wore this. It's a plain black. It's a Gildan shirt that's got the Unabomber logo on it.
All right. Well, that's something to be beefed about.
Ron?
Yes.
What's bothering you?
My beef this week is with Kickstarter. And
We have not talked Kickstarter and your issue with that organization in so long.
And so I received a Kickstarter product today mind you, only 3 months late. But whenever I get something from Kickstarter, it just, it takes me back to the money that I've spent on items that I have not received. And in many cases, probably will never receive. So I would you like to hear the five that I'm down to? And it's you can keep a running tally in your head as to how much I've spent on this stuff.
Are these the five that you have ordered and not received?
Correct.
Are there only five, or these are just the
there
five?
There are only five.
Okay.
But these are the, but they're high ticket items, as you will
what, see. If I may ask, what was it that you ordered 3 months ago after having been fleeced multiple times by the Kickstarter organization that somehow you keep going back to?
This was a very nice Dutch oven that I will be using in my kitchen.
Now, isn't a Dutch oven when you push your girlfriend's head underneath the blanket, fart, and then you cover it?
I don't know what to say about that because my wife made the same exact joke, but it is also a big pot that you can cook in, Brian. So
now, what makes it different than any other pot that you own?
This is a nice ceramic one. It's got like a little grill top on top of it, so you can use it as a little flat top grill as well. So it's a very nice product. I will say that. So I'm waiting on, just to run down my Master Sous smart cooker.
Billy, I hope you have your calculator out.
I think
how much was
that was supposed to come in October of 2019. I think we're still about 50-50 on that one.
And how much was that?
That was $249. I know. Next up is the Growler Chill, which it was a very nice like bar top unit that you could put three growlers in, and it would keep it cold. It would carbonate it. It was a nice little death. So that was supposed to deliver in August of 2017. No, that's not gonna happen. That one was $379.
Oh, wait a second. You're going up in dollar value? I thought you were going down from $250.
I'm going chronologically. I'm going
oh,
back.
Okay.
Back in time.
Okay. Got it.
Noria air conditioner. That one was supposed to deliver in March 2017. Now that one, they actually are delivering product. So I may have it by the end of this summer, which is totally useless. But the reason I bought it is, if you can see behind me in the office here, these windows are not, they don't open wide enough for a regular air conditioner.
Correct.
So this is a very narrow Wi-Fi air conditioner. Which again, they say they're going to deliver. I spent $334 on it, so hopefully it'll deliver at some point. Then we're going back a long ways. The Arist coffee maker, which was very fancy. You put the beans in, it would grind them, it would brew it. It's a whole nine yards. That was supposed to deliver back in July 2015. Definitely not going to happen. That one was $349. And also, I was part of the biggest failed project in Kickstarter history, the Coolest Cooler, which raised $13.2 million. I think it was the second highest project of all time. Again, supposed to deliver back in February of 2015. That was $240. They've already been sued, lost all their money, gone out of business. So that one I'm definitely not getting. But it just feels like, you know, I know it's not a store and you're dependent upon people being able to like deliver product. I just feel Kickstarter could do a little bit of a better job kind of vetting the people they put on the site. That's just my beef. And it probably will be every time I'm reminded that I have not gotten product.
Should I put a reminder on my calendar that say once a quarter, we update the list on your Kickstarter purchases?
If you would like, we can definitely revisit. And certainly if I get anything delivered, I will let you know.
I don't understand how you keep buying from this site.
I will say on a whole, I get products more often than I don't. It's just
I would hope so. No. You should be getting all of your products.
You should. Yes, exactly. I will say the stuff that I typically order is usually smaller ticket items now. I don't spend a lot of money because I've literally like wanted to sponsor stuff, but I don't anymore because of, you know, unless again, the Dutch oven was a company that is an established company and was doing a Kickstarter for a new product line. So I'm like, all right, here's a good chance that it's going to deliver. But if it looks, you know, like it's going to be a reach in any way, shape or form, I'm like, no, not going to do it.
Okay. I don't blame you.
All right. So we are at episode 153. We're 1 week away from the 3-year anniversary. Next Thursday night is the 3-year anniversary party. So make sure you get excited for that. But Brian, what do we want to start off talking about tonight?
First thing I would like to get out of the way is a new bit that we've been talking about.
Oh.
It's called What Would Ron Do?
All right. I'm excited about this.
What would Ron do?
Okay. I'm excited to give my opinion.
We're going to do it today and see if it's got legs.
So what's the concept?
Concept here is this. I'm out and about living in New York City. I take the subway on a daily basis. I'm interacting with a lot of colorful people. And I mean personality-wise,
right,
not skin color. We're not about that. So the question is that things happen to me on a regular basis, and I have an idea that maybe how I handle things wouldn't necessarily be
the right way.
Okay. I think you've got a better head on your shoulders. I think you have better perspective. I think you're more mature. I think that you understand empathy. I think you have a better ability to put yourself into,
I think we get the premise.
So last night I am at Citi Field, which is the home of the New York Mets.
It is.
I was there to see a baseball game with my friend Dom. We were attending a Boston Red Sox at the New York Mets. Now,
pro league play.
Yeah. So one of the things is one of the joys of going to a baseball game, depending on where your seats are, is the question, will I be able to catch a ball? Will I be able to touch a baseball?
Get yourself a game ball.
Yes. Now, historically, meaning up until the past few years of my life, I was not in a position where I was able to afford the kind of seats where you had a decent chance of catching a ball.
Right.
I tended to be up in the upper tiers and whatnot. My theory for years was, the cheaper the ticket is, the more games you could go to.
I see what you're saying.
Last couple of years of my life, I've sat there and said, you know what? Why don't I pay for the better experience? And if that means I go fewer times, but I get a better view, I have a better enjoyment of it. So last night, Dom and I are sitting in the second row, almost dead center field.
That's a good seat.
Now, because of the COVID capacity restrictions, the way Citi Field has the seats distributed, it is one side of a row, and then the following row is on the other side. So this way, there's a definite space between people. You're never close to anyone.
Right. There's social distancing going on.
Absolutely, and I respect that. Whether they were enforcing the mask wearing, I don't snitch. So it's between innings, and as somebody who has watched the outfielders practice in between innings, I see that the left fielder and the center fielder are throwing a ball to each other. Somebody comes out of the bullpen and throws a ball back and forth with the left fielder. It is now time to end this as they are getting ready for the start of the next inning. The left fielder throws the ball to the center fielder. The center fielder turns around and throws the ball to the section immediate to my right.
Okay.
Now, as he goes to throw it, I had two beers. I had not had much food. I was feeling a little happy. Okay. So I stood up and pretended that I wanted to catch the ball. So he throws into the section to my right. I would say probably about five rows behind me. A gentleman stands up. The ball is clearly thrown right at him. This man, it literally bounces off of both hands and makes a beeline right towards me. And because there are fewer people around, There was nothing obstructing me from catching this ball.
It's coming right at you.
It bounced on the ground, went up in my hands. I caught the ball.
Nice.
At this moment, there became a chorus of calls of people around me screaming variations of "Give it to the kid."
That's a tough one.
It took me about, I would say, half a second to a second to realize what they were saying to me, because I'm right now thrilled that I actually have caught a ball that was being used by a major league player. Keep in mind, I'm in my late 40s. I should be above all this.
Right.
But I am thrilled. This is a childhood dream. I have touched a ball. I am holding a ball.
So just to clarify, it didn't bounce off of a kid's hands.
No.
It bounced off of the adult who
yes.
was with the kid.
Yes.
And you want to know what I would do?
Yes.
This may surprise you. I would keep the ball. Because number one, I'm not going to see these people sitting around me ever again.
Never.
And
never.
Especially since it's less. And listen, if the kid had not caught the ball, I probably would give the ball to the kid.
Okay.
But the adult who was supposed to catch it, and again, right on the hands, he said.
It was in his hands. It was in and out of his hands.
You know, I think the child learned an important lesson, and that is if you don't handle the easy things in life, no one's going to give them to you.
Okay.
So what did you end up doing?
I looked at the kid and threw the ball to him.
Wow. I am a little shocked. That was very kind and benevolent of you.
And as soon as I did it, I instantly regretted it and was bothered by it for the rest of the evening. I will say that at the next half inning, the kid walked over to me, thanked me, and shook my hand.
All right. Well, as he should.
Yes.
At least the kid was polite about it.
But it's bothered me
because you don't want to be a dick in front of everybody like that. But
correct.
Again, if the adult had kind of manned up a bit and caught the ball, none of this would have been your problem.
Agreed. And two other guys that were in the section to our right, as they were leaving in the seventh inning, walked over and said, "Hey, we bought too many beers. Would you like these too?"
All right. Well, so karma came around. And paid you back a little bit. Would you rather the baseball or the beers?
I think I would rather not look like a dick in public and have the beers.
All right, that's fair.
I will say that, you know, during the, you know, since it is still a pandemic going on, and these were opened beers that were coming from two strangers who I had never seen before that evening, I still drank the beer.
You really need to wait for that kind of stuff until you're vaccinated. I hope that is a teachable moment for you. And I hope
teachable moment. Teachable moment. Speaking of teachable moments, Ron, how's India doing?
Oh, India is not doing well at the moment. They have seen a resurgence in COVID cases.
That's pretty disappointing.
I think they are up to about 200,000 deaths, but you know, which seems relatively minor compared to us being at about 550,000. But India was doing well for so long, but now the public health system is overwhelmed. They are literally burning bodies in mass fires because there are so many people dying. I was watching CNN this morning. They had someone live there. It literally looked like one of those apocalyptic scenes from like Walking Dead or something, because they're in the middle of this field. There's just stacks of wood burning. Like if I picture it as if New York City did not have forklifts and refrigerated trucks, that's what your boulevard would have looked like.
Yeah.
Oh, and Billy asked a very interesting question. Is Preeti Upala okay? Well, it's interesting you say that because, yes, Preeti was on our show back in August, and she kind of bragged about India and how they were handling things and how it was better than the United States. And then she also made this comment as well. But
where is the big protest against the global shutdown, which, by the way, will kill more people in the end than the pandemic itself, because I think the economic aftermath of this will be felt long and hard.
So, yeah, she felt that the and I love, like, you can tell when Brian was just like, what is going on here? What is this person saying? In fact, Brian, if you don't mind, I'd like to reveal a new still that I pulled from that video. I call it the Brian, the fuck you just say face, which we will start to put up moving forward when we have guests that say something just completely off the ball.
Fucking hell. That's awesome. No, I think it's one of the reasons why I've been hesitant to have guests on regularly is the fact that A, I was not well versed in the issue that she was bringing to the table.
Right.
Shame on me. Teachable moment.
Teachable moment.
It was also the fact that this woman has practiced and trained to talk nonstop to make her point. And I felt that it really wasn't an interview so much as she got up there and just kept talking to me.
Talking.
And yes, talking at me. Like I did not feel there was a back and forth. And I was very disappointed with how I conducted myself failed to conduct myself. It was just bad.
Well, hopefully India gets things under control. Their government came out today, you know, accepting responsibility for conditions. They had almost 380,000 new cases on Thursday, a new global record, and over 3,600 deaths, the highest number of COVID-19 deaths the country has reported in a single day. Most people are anticipating that the cases and deaths are probably much higher than that because there are a number that may be going unreported. Current projections say that the death toll in India could peak at more than 13,000 a day if cases continue on the current trajectory.
Yes. Fortunately, it seems that a lot of vaccines, it seems that America is coming to the aid of India. We are sending over the AstraZeneca vaccine that was not approved in America, but has seemed to be doing very well in Europe. We are sending over our entire stockpile of that. We are sending over PPE. We are sending over oxygen. We are sending over respirators. You know, it's one of the things that you can see kind of going on now, especially India, Brazil, and whatnot, is it feels like there's a bifurcation.
Nice word.
Of how countries are currently existing during this pandemic. And it seems to be based on, you can see is how well the vaccination rollout has occurred in individual countries. I feel like America did a terrible job of managing the pandemic for the first year. I think that as soon as the vaccine was approved by the FDA, rushed out, there was a change in administration. We will never be able to tell how the last administration would have processed this vaccine rollout. You can definitely get a sense that the current, the Biden administration really has prioritized, and that has been pushed through to the various states, where we have our numbers have, you know, our case numbers have dropped radically. Our deaths radically have fallen as the number of vaccine doses that are being administered have radically increased. Then you look at other countries such as India, such as Brazil, such as Indonesia, such as Malaysia,
right,
such so, as the Congo.
But in where, India, It's been made worse because they are continuing to have mass rallies. Indian Prime Minister Modi, who Preeti, I believe, really lauded in his initial handling of it. He and his BJP political party have been holding several rallies.
There's a BJ party in India?
There is. But they have been holding several mass rallies in March and April leading up to state elections. And this spike in cases really ties into, you know, the attendance at these rallies in the eastern West Bengal state.
Yeah.
And Brian, I hate to have to tell you this. Trevor Lawrence of Auburn University has gone as the number one pick in the NFL draft. So you are still on the board. Fingers crossed, but you are not getting that number one pick that you were hoping for.
I was hoping for number one, but, you know, honestly, it will just be an honor to hear my name called.
Now, speaking of COVID and mass gatherings and things like that, Brian, I would like you, if you would, to potentially dispel a rumor I heard that you yourself were at a potential super spreader event this past weekend in New York City.
Nope.
Are you aware of the event that was going on? I heard there was some sort of concert in a park somewhere there in New York City.
This past Saturday?
I believe so.
No. This Saturday, I was volunteering in Jamaica, Queens at a food kitchen. It's not your stereotypical charitable food kitchen. This was
before you go too much into the food kitchen. Can I perhaps share a video file with you?
Sure.
So we'll put this up on the screen right here, and we're gonna see. We're gonna zoom in on this photo, and oh, that Brian, the chapeaued man in the middle of that crowd there. That's certainly. Looks like you. Would you like to comment?
Ron?
Yes, my friend.
I vowed I would never lie to you.
Since the last lie or just in general?
General. Ron, I have to admit something.
Yes.
I lied to you.
Painful.
I was at that concert this past Saturday in Tompkins Square Park.
And how was it?
Fucking amazing. It was absolutely amazing. It was put together by Black and Blue Productions. You had Madball, New York City Hardcore Legends. You had Murphy's Law, New York City Hardcore Legends. You had Wisdom in Chains, Pennsylvania Hardcore Legends. You had the Capturers, who played their very first show. It was a permitted event. The city had given out a permit for a live music concert. It was a benefit show. The organizers were asking for donations. Some of the proceeds went to a firefighter fund. To support the firefighters. More people attended than I think we were expecting. Certainly more than I thought I was expecting. I am fully vaccinated, so I felt perfectly safe being there.
When did that happen, your vaccination?
You know, Ron, for HIPAA purposes, I do not feel at liberty to discuss my own decisions regarding being vaccinated or not.
All right. Well, I hope for your safety. I mean, I think people in New York at this point know how to take care of themselves. And I'm going to assume, based on the current vaccination rates in New York, more people than not either have the antibodies or have been vaccinated.
Our positivity rate is currently below 2%.
Which is good.
Which is better than it's been since November. At the event, you know, a lot of people chose to socially distance. A lot of people chose to wear masks throughout the day. Some people chose not to. And what I appreciated was the fact that it was because it was an outdoor event, there was plenty of space for people to socially distance that wanted to and to wear masks if they chose to.
And I think, to be fair, there were a lot of younger people in the crowd. And as we have often discussed, they don't have the receptors. So they're not going to get the COVID to begin with.
Dr. Drew, who we know it knows more about viruses than any other so-called doctor in the world, he said that children don't have the receptors.
All right. That's good enough for me.
Are you implying, Ron, that I should not have gone to this event?
No, I'm glad you did. I just like giving you a hard time.
I love it when you do give me a hard time. It reminds me of that time in college when you and I got really drunk and you gave me a hard time.
Oh, time for stocks.
Stonks.
One new suggestion here this week as far as stonks go, Naked Brand Group. They are based out of New Zealand. They do intimate apparel and swimwear. If you've seen the Heidi Klum line, she is Naked Brand. They closed at 63 cents. They are actually up to about 70%, up to 70 cents aftermarket. I would recommend trying to get in here at 65 cents. And we are looking at a sell target of $1.25. Although it has in the past, because this is a Reddit Wall Street Bets darling, this has peaked up to $3 previously. But it has often fallen below a dollar, only to come back up into the $1.25, $1.50 range. So if you can nail this, even at 70 cents, you can probably make a nice little profit turnaround in a few weeks. But charts are showing this going to $1.25 moving forward. And of course, our friends over at Labor Smart, it was kind of a hectic week. Again, we've got in here around a penny. They announced this week they had signed Manny Pacquiao as a spokesperson. So they have partnered with Manny Pacquiao and the Manny Pacquiao Foundation, gave it a little bit of a bump. Closed today, a little over 6 cents. We are hoping for a nice finish to the week tomorrow. But I think even more importantly than that is the fact that Ron and Brian are now part of the Labor Smart Hydrogen Water affiliate program. They have put out the product. Brian, do you have your can there?
Do I have my can? Does the bear shit in the woods?
So they have released their next level hydrogen water. Hydrogen water is not a new thing, but this is the first with, what does it have? It's got gold, it's got zinc, it's got copper, and it's got platinum. So it's got these natural elements in there. It is made to be served ice cold. It's antioxidant, anti-fatigue, anti-trauma, morning, noon, and night hydration. Brian, I have had a can of this. I know this is your very first. Take a sip and walk us through the experience that is hydrogen water.
I'm going to open my can. And by the way, did you say the sponsor? Not sponsor. Who's the guy that just came on board?
Manny Pack.
He's not a sponsor. Endorser. That's
endorser. Word. Yes.
He's endorsed Manny Pacquiao, one of the greatest boxers to ever come out of the Philippines, to ever come out of Asia.
Just drink your damn water. Nice and cold. Like I said, this is from the initial run of cans. Brian, talk to me about how it is.
I don't know why, but I was expecting it to be carbonated.
No.
And I'm very glad it's not.
It's a still water. What I like about it, it's got a very clean taste. It's probably
incredibly clean.
One of the cleanest tasting bottled or canned waters. It's crisp. Even with the minerals in it, you don't get that mineral aftertaste. So this is something, if you are an athlete, if you work out, this will help your body regenerate. These statements have not been tested by the FDA, so don't come at us with that. But it is a very refreshing can of water.
It's a 12 full an ounce can, zero calories, zero fat, zero sodium. And the ingredients, literally, spring water, hydrogen, quad C, which is, read this shit.
That's your colloidal, zinc, gold, platinum, and copper. Those are your four colloidals in there.
That's all that goes into this stuff. I would drink this if it was if this was more than $4 a can, I probably would.
Yeah. Three is the breaking
point. Cringe.
So this will be available through their website. We will be sharing a link on our social media for you to be able to order this hydrogen water, if you would so like. And in full disclosure, we'll get a little cut of that. You know, we need to, for lack of a better term, wet our beak from time to time. So we need to get that. We need to get that cash. But yes, this is a good product. We would not recommend it to you if it was not. So get on the next level with Next Level.
I gotta say, this is actually a great thing of water. I'm digging it.
They're working on some distribution agreements, so hopefully you will find this in your local bodega, gym, Wawa, 7-Eleven, Sheetz. Oh, we already got people working out at the gym that want to know where we can get it. So we will get the link up on our social media. You can order it, get it delivered to you. You know, they are a couple weeks behind in delivery because there has been such demand for this water. But support.
Well, they haven't officially gone to market yet.
Not really.
This is still a test product. They, you know, they were testing out the online ordering system and decided to open up a store just to see how it would work. I think you sent me a link within a day or two, and I was I think I was order 4,500.
Yeah, it was a big opening sale. So check it out. If you have any complaints, Brian will field all of them. In the meantime, let's see what other news we have here. You know, we love our gender reveal stories. This is in New Hampshire. Apparently, the gender reveal party was such a blast that it rattled towns, set off reports of an earthquake, and could be heard from across the state line. This was in Kingston, New Hampshire. Apparently, the family went to a quarry where they were holding the gender reveal party. They had 80 pounds of tannerite that they used, and it's typically sold over the counter as a target for firearms practice. It was such a large quantity of explosion that it registered on the Richter scale in the local area. It rocked local homes, and some people actually reported property damage from the shaking to our homes.
Wow.
Now, nobody died, which... You know, we reported a couple weeks ago, you know, we had the plane gender reveal smoke where two people died. We had the guy who did the gender reveal cannon, who someone died when that exploded. Again, just stop with the, I mean, blowing up 80 pounds.
Why are we doing it, people?
Just fortunate that they didn't kill themselves. So the person who purchased and detonated the explosives turned himself into police. They are currently determining what the charges for him should be.
Public execution.
I mean, I think that's fair. And
am I asking for too much? If I am, just say it.
Listen, if someone else wants to do a gender reveal, can we tie that into this person's public execution?
Yeah, I think so.
I think that is just fair. What else we got this week, Brian? Oh,
fuck New Jersey. We love New Jersey.
People in New Jersey. We are referring to Michael Smurrow. He is a middle school vice principal in Monmouth County. He apparently tossed a beer at a table full of outdoor restaurant patrons. They had been filming his wife complaining about a transgender woman using the woman's restroom. That is still a problem people have for some reason. So he is the vice principal of Neptune Middle School in Monmouth County. His wife was extremely obnoxious to people that were at an outdoor dining area in a restaurant in Galloway Township. You know, she said, a man just went into the woman's bathroom and it's not right. It's not right. She's a man in my bathroom. As soon as they became aware that someone was videotaping, they walked over to the table near where the person filming was. And then Michael Smurrow walked up and tossed the contents of his cup of beer at the table. He apologized, saying that he allowed his emotions to get in the way of his, quote, normally sound judgment. Neptune Middle School, for their part, have gone silent. People started to call them out on Twitter and on Facebook, and they responded by shutting down their social media accounts. But I mean, the worst part of it is without a doubt, there are kids in that school that are, you know, either have transitioned or thinking about it. And this is the shit that they still need to go through in this day and age.
Yeah.
You know, this kind of throws back to our review of the Life of Agony documentary and Mina talking about her challenges and what, you know, she went through when she came out. And, you know, it feels like the transgender community is going through the battles right now that the gay community went through years ago. That, you know, the acceptance of homosexuality has moved forward, but I think there is still a distance for the public to come as far as, you know, acceptance of transgendered individuals go.
I think that certain segments of this society have embraced an open-mindedness of allowing people to live the life that will make them feel emotionally fulfilled. And there are still segments of this society that feel threatened by it, that want to impose rules and other horse shit.
And as far as, you know, the state of New Jersey is concerned, it's not against the law. You know, what the law states in New Jersey is that people can use the public restrooms that correspond to what they feel their gender identity is. So right. That individual had every right to be in that bathroom. And this woman had an issue with it. And you know what? Tell her to get the fuck out of here. You know what you should tell her, Brian? Say,
what
the fuck you just say?
Can you send that to me?
Of course I can send that to you. That's my new favorite picture now.
The fuck you just say? Ron, can we take a moment before we continue covering? Can we talk about the Patreon?
Yes, of course we can talk
about Patreon. Because this is a very special week. And I want to say two things to people. One is I would like people to know that if you are currently watching this on YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, can you go and subscribe to our channel on YouTube? We are getting very close to the number on YouTube where we can start monetizing, meaning we can, YouTube will run a short 4-6 second ad at the beginning of these videos when you are watching them, not on straight on a live stream, but when you go to there, it will allow us to offset some of the costs. I mean, you saw the level of graphic design work that Ron put in for that graphic that we did earlier. That must have cost several hundreds of dollars.
I phoned up the folks that did Avatar.
Yeah.
Worked on that picture for us.
So if we can get to a point on YouTube where they can start running ads for people who are watching it not live, it will absolutely help us offset some of the costs that Ron and I incur as part of the Ron and Brian Podcast LLC, patent pending. So one of the things we thought of this week is that if you are subscribed to our channel and you can show us proof that you are, what I will do is I will send two coasters.
Ooh.
These are they're bar style coasters that you would get there. That's a nice hard cardboard. I will mail you personally two coasters. If you can show, email us. What's the email, Ron?
It is info@ronandbrianpodcast.com.
That's right. We have our own email domain. Come on, people. This shit is not free. So if you subscribe to our YouTube channel, let us know. I will mail you coasters. And while you are subscribing, while you are thinking of ways that you can help us financially with the show, one of the best things you can do right down below is become a patron. We have several different tiers that people can come on at. It's a very for as cheap as $5 a month, all the way up to, I believe, we're at a $1,500 a month level,
somewhere up there.
I believe diamond, and those are limited to only 1,000. So once the 1,000 diamond level subscribers are hit, there will be no more limited quantities at the diamond level. But if we understand this is a pandemic, people are hurting. If you know, for the price of a latte at Starbucks, you can become a patron on our supporting the Ron and Brian. We do a extra minimum 30 minutes every Thursday right after this. It is uploaded the following morning, unless Brian has technical difficulties or gets busy at work. Additionally, for $10 a month, you actually will receive on a weekly basis a link to a live stream where you can watch us do our the Patreon bonus material that is there are certain types of stories that YouTube kind of frowns upon us doing. Obviously, we're trying to get monetized, we're trying not to get banned. Ron already has us with one strike. Last week we received a warning that we were using copyrighted materials. We like to be rule breakers, but at the same time we want to be smart when doing so. Ron, you're going to be
trying to behave myself.
So the spicy stories, the OnlyFans.
Hey, you know what? I've got an idea, Brian.
What?
Let us I know we have a number of people listening right now that are already Patreon subscribers, but if you are watching this podcast live right now and you are not yet a Patreon subscriber, message us on our Facebook page right now, and we will send you the link to join our monthly Patreon After Dark pajama party so that you can join us for free one time, and that way you can judge for yourself if you want to become part of the Patreon. We will let you join us in this one-time affair. Brian, you're shocked. You know I'm that benevolent. You know you're shocked. Let's see. Message us on the Facebook. Again, we're at the Ron and Brian Podcast on Facebook. But if you go to ronandbrianpodcast.com, not only will you find the link to our Patreon, but you will find the link to all of our social media as well. So you've got about 28 minutes until we do the pajama party. So message us on Facebook. If you're not part of the Patreon, we will let you join us this one time so you can see what you're missing out on. Brian, can we talk Jeopardy? The TV show, not like the Jeopardy that your life is in on a daily.
Absolutely, we can talk Jeopardy.
So this is what happened. Don't worry if you don't own pajamas. We don't really own pajamas either.
I went out of. I bought pajamas. You know,
we're not that strict at times. But
is it pajamas or pajamas?
It's whatever. Is it documentary or documentary? We still don't know.
It's a documentary.
But in the meantime, let's share this gentleman. He is, what the hell is this guy's name? Kelly Donahue. He was, I think, a three-time champion. And he made a little hand gesture. Tortilla, that's another one. So when he was at the beginning of the show, when he was introduced the other day, he made this hand gesture holding up three fingers. That a number of people mentioned were very similar to the white supremacy hand sign that a lot of the hate groups use. Now, I guess what is interesting to point out is when he, in the introduction, after he won the first time, he made the number one. The second day, he made two. So is it just coincidence that he did the three? But I mean, wouldn't you think like that's a normal three right there?
That's three. Whereas, I don't know anybody that goes like this for when three you're other than
in the hand. I mean, it just it feels wrong. And he looks very white supremacy to begin with.
You know what he looks like? He looks like a piece of Wonder Bread that somebody has spread mayonnaise over.
He looks like someone that tried to raid the Capitol, but got winded about the fifth step and just couldn't make it the rest of the way up.
He looks like the kind of guy that is a volunteer pastor at his church who also is not allowed to go within 10 feet of children.
He looks like someone who feels mayonnaise at times is too spicy a condiment.
He looks like the kind of man who has abandoned wiping after taking a dump and just run in for a shower.
He looks like a man who blames his lack of hairline on the Jews.
He looks like the kind of man that has an inflatable kiddie pool in his backyard that he likes to lie in on Saturday afternoons.
He looks like the kind of man that has never drank a cold can of hydrogen water.
Okay. He looks like the kind of man that would apply peanut butter to his testicles so that his German Shepherd dog can take care of.
He looks like the kind of man who watches 90 Day Fiancé and says, that might be for me.
Well, I don't think I can top that. I can't top that, Ron.
Let's see. We're running up towards the end here. Any other stories that we want to get to before we prep for the After Dark episode?
There was one more I thought that we had that we wanted to talk about. Can we end with talking about what a piece of shit Wayne LaPierre is?
Yes. Is he still associated with the NRA or did he leave?
Oh, he's still the chief, I believe. They've okay. just filed for bankruptcy and relocated their state that they're located in.
So he and his wife were filmed hunting African bush elephants, the largest land mammals on Earth. Talk to me about this story, Brex. You very much like this story.
Listen, there's a couple things that I feel very strongly about. I fucking hate the NRA.
Okay.
I believe that the chokehold that they have on the on our legislators.
Either or.
Well, I mean, there one is the actual people in the legislature. So technically they're both correct. The chokehold, the absolute level of refusal within this country to even have a dialogue on the conversation of who should have access to guns and who shouldn't. These are people who are openly ensuring that mass shootings are happening because they fight all conversations about it. He has this, so Wayne LaPierre is the chairman, CEO, shithead, dirtbag, whatever, titty fucker. So he has talked about how he is the exemplar when it comes to hunting, that all these hunts are humane. They are one-shot kills. The animals die in a peaceful, immediate way, that this is for the economic good of the countries where these kills are taking place. So what he does is he has a film crew for some NRA channel. I don't know what the fuck it, I don't think it exists in Queens.
No, it's Lord called knows. Under Wild Skies.
Yeah. So this TV show follows this guy and his wife to Botswana in Africa, where they're going to kill an elephant, because that's what people do. They fly to Africa to kill elephants. So here he's out there with a TV crew, all sitting there with his little chubbed up 4-inch pecker, getting ready to shoot an elephant to death. And this guy butchers it, shoots it like 4 different times. The animal is still alive. He walks up to it from a point blank range to shoot again, does not kill the animal, requires his wife to come over to come in for the kill shot. Then they bury this footage for 2 years
because he does not. 2 years. This
8 years.
2012.
Yeah, but I count things in dog years. So he buries it because he doesn't want to be publicly shamed. Now, suddenly, somebody's got a pair of balls and they put it out. So fuck him.
Fuck him and fuck the rest of the NRA.
But don't fuck Next Level. This is good water. I'm actually pleased with it. I thought it was going to be like a sparkling water, which I tend not to enjoy. This is just a crisp, cold glass of water.
and very, again, very fresh, very clean. So we will, on our social media, we will share our affiliate links in case you would like to try some next level hydrogen water for yourself. Of course, you can always go to ronandbrianpodcast.com as well for the Patreon link. As we have said repeatedly, we've got the After Dark coming up later tonight. It's the last Thursday of the month. So that means, that's right, it's pajama party time. So we will be having the pajama party next week, 2-year anniversary. We talked a little bit about a
three-year anniversary.
We talked a little bit about a previous guest we had. We've got some very exciting news for an upcoming guest that we have in the month of May, but we're going to save that for the 3-year anniversary because it's that big of an announcement as to who our upcoming guest is that I think it merits a third anniversary episode type announcement.
Yes.
Personally, just my take on it. All right, Brian, anything additional before we wrap up the main podcast and get ready to go over for the After Dark pajama party?
Not at all. I think we're good to go.
Oh, you know what we didn't do? Did we play songs? What did we do?
Stonks.
You're a clever man. You knew we did stonks.
I just wanted
to play that again. You
play
just
it one more time.
You know.
All right. Well, everybody, thank you for joining us this week. For our Patreon subscribers, we will see you in about 20 minutes. For everybody else, we will catch you next week for 3-year anniversary.